Money Roots is made possible by the support of our sponsor, Rooted Planning Group. Are you ready to take control of your financial future? Look no further than Rooted Planning Group, your trusted partner in financial well-being. At www.rootedpg.com, you'll discover a wealth of resources and expertise to help you thrive financially. Rooted Planning Group specializes in personalized financial planning, investment management, and retirement strategies. They understand that every financial journey is unique, and they're here to guide you every step of the way. With a team of experienced advisors, Rooted Planning Group is committed to helping you cultivate a secure and prosperous future. Visit www.rootedpg.com today to learn more about how Rooted Planning Group can help you grow your money roots.
Welcome to Money Roots, the podcast where personal finance gets personal. Hosted by Amy Irvine, the CEO of Rooted Planning Group. Each week, Amy and her team dig deep into the world of finance, making it more approachable and understandable for everyone, no matter where you are on your financial journey. From savings and investments to budgeting and planning, Money Roots brings you practical advice, inspiring stories, and expert insights. They believe that everyone has the potential to grow a healthy financial future, and they're here to help you nurture it. So, whether you're a financial guru or just starting to plant the seeds of your financial knowledge, this is the place for you. Get ready to uncover the tools and strategies that can help you thrive financially. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's episode of Money Roots.
Welcome back, Money Roots listeners. Today you're going to be hearing from Carrie Bean and Becky Eason. We're going to continue talking about competing priorities. And today we're going to add a little touch on it of those kids who are in like high school or college age. So welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hello.
Okay. So, as I'm sure many listeners know, you have two kids. One is already in college and one is in high school. So,
yes.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you either are or did save for your kids' education?
Yeah, sure. So, just a little bit of background. One is supposed to be a junior in college, but she's a senior. She's graduating a little bit early. And then my son is a junior in high school. So we're right at that stage where life is really expensive and we have a lot of things going on. So to answer your question, you know, how did we and how are we kind of saving for college for them? The biggest factor that we did that I say is a huge difference maker is when my daughter was very young, probably, you know, 2 or 3 years old, my dad encouraged us to open a 529. And at the time, I was not in this career. I didn't know very much about it. I mean, I knew what it was. And I knew, you know, that it was for college. So I just went into a local advisor where we lived and opened a 529 and began saving into that. And over the years, we just always put in it monthly. Sometimes, you know, I can remember us changing the amounts. You know, there were times when we put in less and times when we felt like we could put in more. So that grew over time. And what has definitely been a difference maker in my daughter being in college right now, she did go to a bigger, I would say a little bit more expensive Division I school. And so the tuition was a little bit higher there. So that has kind of been our saving grace, is knowing that we had put that money back and it was earmarked just for college. Did we do enough? Probably not. Because now, you know, as my son approaches, we're not quite as prepared, which they have a lot different lives. And he may end up playing sports in college and help us out a little. So, but that's my big takeaway as far as saving for college was that 529. And I'm really glad we did that.
Yeah, that's awesome that you started, especially when your kids were so young, to give you that time value of money and those extra years be flexible.
Yeah.
Now, with that 529 savings, did you encourage any family members to contribute for gifts for, you know, birthdays or Christmas, anything like that?
I never really encouraged anyone. It wasn't a huge topic of discussion, but my dad, he's the one that encouraged me to start it. He actually would periodically just give money for specifically for that. So he would put money in their 529 for them. So that was a nice gift, and it definitely was a booster to help savings there. I wish it was a little bit more common. I wish it was something we heard about more often as people contributing to those or even to some kind of account for kids' college.
Yeah. It's so easy to get gifts for kids. You know, it's fun seeing them open them, but, you know, thinking of the longer term horizon of helping pay for college, which is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're listening to this and you're wondering what to get someone for a birthday, a 529 contribution is an awesome long-term gift.
I agree.
And you mentioned that your daughter is actually a senior right now, even though she would technically be in her junior year. So that right there sounds like it's saving you about a year's worth of tuition and room and board. Do you have any advice on how she got there?
Yes. So when she was in high school, we do concurrent classes, and she took some college classes when she was in high school, which was through the local junior college and was significantly cheaper than, the regular tuition while you're in college, because I'm sure it's different in every state, but our state will pay the tuition and all we had to pay was the fee. So it wasn't very much for her to take those classes. And I believe she graduated with maybe 15 or 18 hours. So she was a semester ahead. And then she has actually taken classes in the summer each year. So she just got ahead by doing that. And that's definitely saved, you know, money from that perspective, because, you know, the room and board's pretty expensive on top of just tuition and fees. So that was one thing that's been helpful for her.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great way of jumpstarting savings. So another question that I want to ask you is, I know we've talked a lot about internally your kids having vehicles because of where you live and where your daughter goes to school. Mm. So how did you accomplish, saving for college and getting vehicles for your kids?
It's going to actually end up being kind of a different scenario for each of my kids, just because their lives are different. So I will say for every kid and every family, it's going to be different. One thing that we did do, you know, while people didn't necessarily give for their 529, is we have a very large family. I do especially. So we have a lot of aunts and uncles and great aunts and uncles and grandparents, which is I feel very fortunate for that. So they did receive like birthday money and Christmas money and things like that. So even when they were small, at birthday time, they would get a present, and then some people would give money, and I always let them, you know, keep a little bit and maybe let them do something fun with it. But if we had extra birthday money, we would put in their savings account. So they always had a savings account from the time they were little. And as my daughter got older, she did play sports the beginning part of her high school years, but it ended up not playing as much. So she worked, and she saved quite a bit of money and would periodically put some of that money into her savings account. And we were fortunate enough that when she was 16, she got to just drive an old clunker that was just kind of in our family. So she drove that for a little while, but it wasn't in good enough shape to send her to college in. So I think toward the end of her junior year, we ended up getting her a better vehicle. But she had quite a bit of money in her savings, and she actually ended up making the down payment on it, which helped a lot. And it was a pretty significant amount. that she was able to do for her age. I'll say, you know, for someone in her position, I want to say she had like $6,000 or $7,000 that she paid down on that car. And then we picked up the rest of it. So we did end up with a car payment for her. But it's timed out, you know, okay, where we didn't necessarily have car payments of our own at the time or anything. So it wasn't a huge deal. And we bought a used car, so it wasn't massively expensive. So that is something that I think we had a little bit of a jump start on. Also was, you know, just having her save money, you know, growing up or whatever. And I think it was a really big deal to let her have, you know, some ownership in that vehicle. And that was important to us. For my son, it's going to be a little bit different. He hasn't been able to work, but he's highly involved in sports and not really able to work. But we're fortunate enough that potentially that's going to end up paying off for itself. And he may end up with quite a bit of scholarship money. So we're still going to be out money, but it just may be on a vehicle versus the college. So I think just planning for that. I don't really feel like with a vehicle there is a perfect answer other than if you can afford to save as they're growing up, even if it's you putting money in a savings account, the more money you can have set aside earmarked for that goal, the better. I mean, I know it is hard, save for college, save for your own retirement, save for your kids a vehicle. It's a lot to think about, but just thinking and realizing, okay, this is a goal and this is going to happen. It's coming at us whether we're ready or not. So just figuring out what works for you and your family and the timing of it is it's a big deal. Vehicles are expensive, especially when you have teenagers. And then also you have to have a vehicle. So just the timing of it and the replacement of your own vehicles is something to not ignore.
Yeah, that's all really great advice. You know, you've mentioned that saving for your kids' college and then their vehicles, but also saving for your own vehicles and your own long-term financial goals. Do you have any advice on how to set the various goals and achieve kind of all of them without harming your own long-term financial goals?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest thing that I would say is, and we talk about this a lot with our clients and within our firm, is having those different buckets of money. So while we did save in the 529, one thing that I would say has been helpful is we do have a regular savings account. We just set up automatic monthly contributions to, and I just call it just like unknown goals. Like you just don't ever know for sure what's coming up, what's going to happen. Obviously we talk about emergency funds a lot, but also you don't ever know what your kids are going to be doing or what you're going to be doing. You know, we did have the 529 with my daughter, but one thing that is something that we didn't even think about when she was growing up was she's traveled abroad with the college. So she went to Italy, and that was a very awesome experience for her, but a very unexpected expense. So that's been one thing that I will say is saving just for things that you may not know. And that's, I guess one piece of advice would be, yeah, save for college, but there's going to be a lot of things that come up that you don't know about also. And we luckily with her, she did get some scholarship money for that trip to Italy. But it's just an expense that we didn't expect. And, you know, I wasn't willing to not let her go. So we did whatever we had to do to help her go.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, a lifetime experience. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like, you know, it's really important to remember that goals are always changing and to allow yourself flexibility to pivot because you never know what life is going to throw at you. So I think that's really good tips and things that, you know, people hear. Us financial planners, you know, we don't have it all figured out either. So it's okay to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I do. Go ahead. I was just going to say, I do think, especially with kids when they hit that age, those teenage years, especially if you have more than one, I think just being prepared for those, the never ending changing. It's just always, there's so many moving parts. And you never know what kids are going to want to do and how they're going to want to spend their time. So just knowing mentally going into these ages that it's going to be stressful and a lot, and just try to save what you can before they hit this age.
Yeah, that's great advice. And being that you do have two children that are very different in their interest and everything, I'm sure as a parent, you want to keep things as fair as you can. But do you ever find that, you know, it feels like maybe you're supporting one goal for one child more than the other?
Actually, yes, because it does feel like it's been interesting to buy my daughter a vehicle kind of before COVID, and then now we're purchasing my son a vehicle, like after, you know, the chip issues and all that things. Vehicles are a lot more expensive now than they were, I think, when we bought hers. So I have kind of thought through, gosh, it feels like we're spending a lot more on his vehicle than we did hers. A piece of that is out of our control. And then a piece of it is he's getting a truck, you know, being a boy and we live in the country. He wants a truck, and that's something that's very common here. And so it does seem like it's a more expensive vehicle. But when I look at the big picture of how our kids have been treated growing up and the things she's gotten to do versus what he's going to do, I think it's very close to even. And not that, you know, life is not always perfect and even, but, you know, she's at a bigger college. It's more expensive. She's been to Italy, and this coming semester she's going to Japan. This semester she's going to Japan. So she's not done without, and she could care less about what vehicle she drives. So there's that. And with him, it's so far it's looking like he's going to play college baseball, so we may not be out the tuition. So we're going to be out maybe a little bit more expensive vehicle. And I don't know, you know, if his first 2 years he plays baseball and then he may not play after that, you know, time will tell. But I think in the long run, high level, they're going to end up kind of being equal from a financial perspective. But from their perspective, it's never crossed their minds that they were not treated equally. So I think just it's really hard to wade through that process, especially as a parent. You never want to feel like you're doing more for one kid than the other. But it's kind of worked itself out for different reasons. And I don't know if it always works out like that for everyone, but it is something that parents will have to think about and work through and just kind of wade through themselves.
There's definitely a lot in life to balance.
Yeah.
I have to say you're doing a wonderful job with that.
Thank you.
So as we close out today's episode, are there any other goals or things that parents of teenagers might be thinking about as far as goal setting for their kids?
I mean, the one thing that just keeps circling back to is starting when they're young. I think if you can start saving money when they're young, just knowing, you know, who knows, you know, what your kid may like or what the future holds, you just never know. But if you can just earmark some money for college or goals, it doesn't even have to be for college, just for anything that you think they may be interested in, prioritizing that and just kind of automating it. That was a big thing, I think, for us, because once we automated it, we thought about it a little bit less, and the account just grew. And encouraging them to save some too. Like my daughter, she ended up working in high school, and she's a natural saver, so it was easy for her. So, but teaching your kids, if they do work, to maybe save a little, and then from the parent perspective, saving what you can and automating it so you don't have to be thinking about it all the time.
Awesome. That's all fantastic advice. And if listeners, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to any of us here at Rooted Planning Group. We certainly love to hear from you. And just want to thank you, Carrie, so much for being on today's episode. It was a pleasure to get to chat with you.
So, yeah, thank you. Enjoyed it.
Excellent.
You've been listening to Money Roots, your go-to podcast for making personal finance accessible and approachable. Thanks for joining us today. Amy and her team have enjoyed guiding you through the roots of your financial journey. Remember, whether you're planting new seeds of financial knowledge or nurturing the growth of your existing financial plans, Money Roots is here to support you every step of the way. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and visit our website at www.rootedpg.com/podcasts for more resources. And of course, subscribe to Money Roots wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. A big thank you to the sponsor, Rooted Planning Group, for making this show possible. At Rooted Planning Group, they're committed to helping you cultivate a thriving financial future. Until next time, keep growing your money roots.